Well, hello there. Haven't seen you around these parts before. Might I tell you a little bit about Reckless Nerd Out Nights every other week at Reckless Brewing Company's Pine House? It's a hippity-hopping time. Oh, seriously, guys, it's awesome. Every other week, we're hosting a sort of a game night at 6 o'clock p.m. to like 9 o'clock p.m. Monday nights. It's super, super cool. I'm gonna get in some magic this week. I'm so excited. I did a commander game of the day. It was so cool. And then I'll be running some one shots here and there. We're also getting some local DMs together to run one shots of their own. Seriously talented, seriously cool people. Please come by. Please check them out. We're putting tickets up on Eventbrite. Just search for Eventbrite, Reckless Brewing, Nerd Out Night. You should find us, grab some tickets the second they come up. You want to get them fast because they are selling out so quick. People are excited because it's awesome. So please, please, come on by.
Yeah, come on by Reckless Brewing, where we make beer.
More like a chew there.
Is officially being expressed towards Trezen Killig, Blanche Trudeau, and Sean Franklin Mondelio. And who could be more surprised? I mean, Atash himself has reported that their work on Santacial was instrumental in the arrest of Itzmin Del Prado and the nefarious big man. When the hand of the Sunweaver sees potential, you better believe the people of the Concord Worlds will jump on it. Now hang on. Whether or not they agree to this loft position is yet to be seen. We know they have returned to the Citadel earlier this day for a proper hero's rest, so let's give them all some time, shall we? They've all three got a big decision to make.
Jean too, huh?
Ooh.
The offer is out there.
Go Jean Franklin de Montelio.
All three got a big decision to make.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I guess not.
What do you think?
I'm trying to decide if I should save cupcakes. It for like the show or maybe a little bit of both. I'll play it out. Imagine this.
Yeah.
Imagine a world.
Yeah.
Where Jean.
Yeah.
Is sponsored by the pale moonlight.
I'd argue Ugly Coyote.
Huh. Yeah.
Just to piss him off.
Oh man.
It fits his brand.
Speaking of the pale moonlight, I have things in this episode that were supposed to be last week. I had things I wasn't going to do this week that I'm doing this week purely because of your choice back there. That was some fun stuff.
Yeah, I thought so. I wanted to try to get an extra week out of it for John.
We're getting an extra week out of it for the viewers, the listeners, yeah. Because we're here. We're going back to the pale moonlight. Before we do that, we have something to talk about. The pants people rose up. The pants people have spoken. And the rule of no takesies, backsies, seems to be demanded.
Yeah.
Shall we implement such a rule for our button chaos situation?
I mean, I'd just say just for this time. It doesn't have to be like a blanket rule. I'm cool with going down to three.
Yeah, just for this time.
I'm just saying just for this time. I want my damn buttons.
Okay.
I think there are a couple of unspoken rules in our world, our society. The first being the golden rule, Trudeau is the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
The second, no takesies, backsies.
That's number two? Wow.
I was genuinely wondering where you were going with that. I should have seen it.
I think if we all play by those two rules, the world will be a better place.
Okay. All right. In that case, I hereby declare a no takesies, backsies on the buttons of last week.
I see where you're going with this. You're gonna screw us over.
Yeah. He's going to say butt.
Which means pants people.
Mm-hmm.
He has two buttons.
I get to keep my button.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you all.
I think it was just one.
Oh,
was
it?
I'm going to tell you all right now.
Oh, yeah, we joked about one.
Yeah, but one button almost TPK'd you guys in the Mesmerize fight. Remember that? I have one button. I'm going to tell you all what I'm going to do with it. I have a plan for this button, okay? On our next major arc, I will use this button and I will kill Jean Franklin Montelio. That's it. I declared it. It's been declared. It's out there. Brace yourselves. Brace for Riptide.
Nerd. Pants people.
Yeah, what?
Revolt.
No, they did. This is the world they wanted.
I gave that button with the understanding that this was all going to be erased. But you know what? I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's gonna add some nice tension down the road.
I hate it, but I like it.
And that was really fast, too, because we are recording this on the day that episode came out. So, yeah. So it's what? 2 o'clock in the afternoon
very
right
quick
now?
Revolt. Very
3
quick
o'clock?
Revolt.
Very quick revolt.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, pants people.
Yeah, there was like there were like
ended in a couple hours.
There were like 8 or 10 hours of revolt. Yeah. Your voices have been heard.
I just hope you don't come to regret it. You guys want to get into it? I will say I just got some new headphones. Stephen gave me a GM's Day. I didn't know it was a thing. A GM's Day gift. I now have the headphones they have instead of the garbage headphones I've been using for a year and a half now.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is weird. This sounds really good.
Now David knows how the podcast sounds.
Yeah, seriously. I
welcome to the show.
It's a pretty good show, guys. Man,
yeah, not too bad.
Man, what have I been listening to?
You've done a lot of work here, Jeremy.
Thanks. It's been painstaking.
I'm ready to play.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some music. Where's that sirenscape?
Get it.
Hashtag sirenscape.
Let's open into a room lit by a soft yellow light. See, glowing salt lamps sort of lining the walls. Incense burns on a table in the corner, and the room just smells so good. Just think of a really good smell. I don't know what smells are. Mm. It's a good one, though. Give me a smell.
How about jasmine tea?
Hell yeah, that's great.
Nice. Mm. Nice.
In the midst of all this, this very quaint, very comfortable space, we see Jean Franklin is halfway submerged into an extravagant bathtub filled with a warm, silvery mud. Two cucumber slices cover his eyes. In one hand, he holds a glass of a deep red wine. The other is reaching to the tray at the tub's side, where a delicacy of sushi rolls is stacked elaborately along this like sort of very long tray. I will say that this tub is easily big enough for two. These are the private apartments that Jean's been staying in, and they are, you have found, Blanche, wildly extravagant. This is just the bathroom of this. And right now, he is taking his pre-bath, post-shower mud dip. I guess a daily ritual, sometimes twice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big tub, big enough for two. Is Blanche possibly enjoying an amazon eel bath as well?
I think it's even better.
Oh.
I think Blanche is maybe towards the other side of the room on a massage table, getting her shell really worked and polished.
Oh my, your shell is so nice.
Oh God, he's back.
Says Beauregard. Flippery hands are just kind of rolling over your shell.
This feels very nice on my battle scars.
Well, your battle scars feel so nice on my flipper.
Not too familiar, sir.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to throw up.
Little Jean's just sitting around letting little silvery eels in the mud just lick at his dead and damaged skin, feeling his legs sort of reinvigorated. Just a new thing, all the rage in the Citadel. Well, at least at the pale moonlight where those who can afford it can enjoy it. So, despite Beauregard just massaging your shell, I think Jean kind of lulls.
This is just excellent. It's been so long. Well, a few days, but it's so long for me.
And he kind of like takes a second, sort of grunts to himself, sort of getting comfortable. Then you see him reach up and pull the cucumbers off his eyes, and he kind of looks over to you, Blanche.
So, you are, I suppose you'll be returning to your station then. Sir, back to Father's Heel.
I have a duty and a responsibility. One that I will not shirk.
Right, yes, of course. Though you should stay with me. He's not what you think, sir. Father, Father is a lying, betraying murderer. All the kings of Coin are. Beauregard, please disregard this.
Of course. Discretion is my absolute principle.
Very well. They are all murderers, sir. And I'm going to prove it to the world.
How do you plan to do that?
Well, I suppose I'm on the path already. For now, I can use Jules. He's gaining more clout as a luminary.
Let's assume that I believe any of this at all? Why don't you tell me what you know?
I suppose it's as good a time as any. Beauregard, you can stay.
Thank you, sir. I'm just gonna keep working on the shell. He's fine. He's got your trust, I guess.
Yes.
I will preface, Jean, that my station is not dependent on the acts of those I protect.
I understand. So, hear me out, and you may make whatever decision is best. I, of course, trust your judgment, sir. But I shall tell you why I left the Golden Bay, why I left Noari, and try to become a luminary. It's really quite simple. The truth is, on the day that I left, I broke into Father's private office. I was hoping to forge a mistake on his latest financial reports and get that damnable, no-good Ledoux Lemoir fired for good. Well, I didn't get that far, unfortunately. But there was a document on his desk, penned by his hand. A letter addressed to the kings of coins at large. A list of grievances he felt towards the rest of the merchant monarchy. He was upset that he was treated as lesser to the others, even though the Golden Bay's fishing industry easily made more overall revenue than a few of them, at least. I mean, we're up there. It was an angry note, quite personal. He probably never even meant to send it, actually, just some sort of stress relief. I don't know, but it detailed another reason why he should be more respected. That he was complicit in a grave crime. We all know of the jelly flower. Probably the most commercially valuable crop grown on any world. I weep at night knowing I can never stomach the taste of its sweet wines again. But I couldn't stomach it now, knowing the truth. Apparently the jelly flower was purely the creation of someone named Eden. There was a trade with the kings of coin. Some unnamed price for the first jelly seeds, but the kings never intended to pay their side. They murdered this Eden and took the seeds for themselves. They must have known the financial boom Noari would experience from the flower, yet their greed was so great, so loathsome, they'd rather commit cold murder than make an actual investment. Now, Father was not one of the kings before the jelly flower first bloomed, but he was in talks with them, and he certainly knows of their dark secret. He's only profited off of this villainy. I have profited off of this villainy. Even the Speaker of our world knows about this, sir. They told me I should be grateful to the kings for what they've done. It's maddening. My family's honor, my honor, is absolutely tarnished. Now, is that a man that Master of Defense, Blanche Trudeau, should serve? Sir, someday, I will be Lord of the Nine Pools, and I will deserve your company. I will. But not before I see the Kings of Coin revealed for the villains they are, Father included.
Okay, so maybe we come back to the point where you said Father included.
Yeah.
We might want to cut this out. I don't know yet. Let's go over real fast. See, this might be stuff that just you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
But the Golden Bay, where the bioluminescent bug, fish thing, whatever, come in.
Yes, the algae that appears.
The algae.
Condorella's blessing, a great sort of spirit that lives within the bay.
And the fish come in to eat that, which is what gives the such wonderful bounty, blah, blah, blah.
The festival of the Golden Bay, the sort of tournament you had, it's done every year at the end of the Wage of Vice to appease this spirit's deity.
Yes.
And when this deity is appeased, the Golden Bay fills with this golden shimmer as this bioluminescent golden algae sort of floats to the top, appearing as if from nowhere, from the bay's bottom. It draws in such a massive population of these huge, healthy fish that the trained fishermen of the Golden Bay, the turtles there, snatch up and sell for incredible profit. Mm-hmm. They are the best fishermen And this is the best fishing spot on any of the worlds.
And this has nothing to do with these jelly flowers. No. This is a totally different venture.
The jelly flower is more to the south of the Golden Bay, probably about a mile's journey, is the city state of Zinda. It's the main powerhouse city of Nuari.
Mm-hmm.
And generally what people think of when they think of Nuari, the turtles and their rituals are oftentimes just kind of, you know, sort of put out of mind. Zinda's where it's at. In the jelly flower, the gardens of this jelly flower grow all around outside the city. It is essentially this flower. It's mostly used for wine, but it's basically used for many other things as well. It's this incredible resource that has caused, like, there's one king of coin, because each king of coin has their own, like, thing they oversee. Mm-hmm. And one of them literally just oversees jelly trade. And this king is the richest.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. All right. If what you say is true, Tadpole, I will help you expose this as best as I can, but it will be from the Golden Bay. I am tasked with defending the bay, and I will do that, even if it is from the Kings of Coin, but that is my place.
I understand. I think you do see a moment. He, like, swallows a little hard. He's, like, not trying to show that. I guess it kind of hurts him that you're leaving, because he's committed to staying. You can see that in his eyes. He's committed to staying. He kind of nods. I can't go back. Not yet. I need jewels. I need a luminary. It's the only way forward. They have clout. They have the ability to say things, do things. You saw Jules when he got here. He set the whole place on fire with that word about Tythos. I mean, that's what I need. That kind of respect. That kind of... And I think you actually hear another voice rise up.
Then why don't you, Lord John Franklin, become a luminary?
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, okay, so obviously our characters don't know that they were offered.
You don't know. John just, ha! I've been down that road, not popular enough. Us tortoises have kept to ourselves a long time. Some folks still look at us as monster races, like goblins and kobolds and such and such. They'll never make a tortoise luminary. And I think, like, you feel hands come off your shell, Blanche. And you kind of see Beauregard start shifting over towards one side of the room. Because in here, of course, is a crystal projector in every single room.
Yeah, of course.
So he kind of just walks over.
You haven't seen...
And he kind of finagles the projector, and all of a sudden, on the wall, an image resolves itself against sort of the stark white sort of paper wall. You see images of Orin kind of like speaking, and I think almost belayed behind him, almost like on a green screen, are images of you, of your group arriving on the jewel, stepping out onto the world, coming back from Saint Etienne, and you hear,
the people have spoken. And the offer of luminaryship is officially being expressed towards Drezen Kellogg, Blanche Trudeau, and Jean-Frank Montelio. And
we already did the intro.
Mm-hmm.
But you're hearing the intro. And Jean's eyes go wide.
Oh, it's been playing all day long.
We. Sir. Is this real?
Well.
We become luminaries.
There you go, Tadpole. Seems like you're... You're off and running.
The first total luminaries. I didn't... But I told Jules I'd become his sidekick. Do you think he might maybe allow me to stand as his luminary partner instead? That would be quite something.
He would be lucky to have you.
You think so?
Anybody would.
This is huge. For the turtles, for my plans, for everything. I
And I think his eyes fall on you, and I think he kind of like looks at you quizzically.
And you too, sir. He said, you tell me, do you wish to become a luminary?
And before you answer that question, I want to take us all back in time.
Ooh.
I want to bring us
flashback
back to a younger Blanche. When she was still training in the art of the sword. The details of that will leave mysterious for a moment. Steven, how young was Blanche when she was still learning to use the blade? It's certainly going to be before her victory in the Tidepool Arena that we have seen previously. I imagine some years previously.
Yeah. She was probably about Jean's age now.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a young woman.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Blanche, as we move back in time, we see that the rooms that surround you now are not nearly as ornately decorated as those of the pale moonlight. I would describe them as simple and efficient. Training rooms with little frivolity to see. But the Umizan architecture is very similar, as the training school you currently live in is on the world of Umizu. You are moving through a white-walled hallway, a steamy haze filling the space. As you pass by a small window, you can see that another student, a young man, is standing at the center of the training grounds outside, repeatedly swinging a blade. All other students have retired to their rooms and baths following a harsh day. The one outside is sort of the problem student of the lot, and so has unsurprisingly found himself committed to yet another thousand swings punishment. You can see as you stare out this window how the wind itself seems to wrap around his blade. It's his natural talent shining through as he grows deeper into exhaustion. But pupil Emin Rath is not the person you should be focusing on right now.
That's so awesome.
Because your master, Master Ozen Yoshikatsu, has summoned you personally.
Boom. Mic drop.
Don't drop the mic. It's
expensive. Please don't. Please don't.
You move on. You reach the end of the hallway and stand before a sliding door that is just slightly open, releasing steam all around you. Do you step in?
Before Blanche steps in, I just want to like, guys, that is so cool, right?
Yeah.
Blanche was taught by Ozen Yoshikatsu, the Storm Eye.
The Storm Eye. Yeah.
Alongside Emin Rath.
Alongside Emin Rath.
Did you originally plan that, or did it just like start to make sense?
It was our initial talks. I think we started bringing up our initial talks. That
yeah.
Okay.
You want to be a blade singer. And I was like, you know who's basically a blade singer?
Mm-hmm.
Ozen Yoshikatsu. And yep. Like, it just kind of came together.
Yeah, that kind of fell together during character creation. Yeah, but I mean, like, we've been sitting on that for a while, and I'm so excited to get it out. How rich.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Blanche enters.
You step into a bathing room, facing a wide, clear pool of bubbling, steaming water at the far end of this sort of spring in a shape revealing in the mask. And at the far end of the spring is a shape sort of resolving itself in the mist. You see, as things begin to clear, the haze flowing out the door behind you, that the figure raises a solitary hand in your direction and says,
"Hello."
No.
That, I mean,
you can't say no to me.
Ah, Blanche, do come in. Feel free to join me. The water is exceptionally soothing and the sake is delightful.
As things clear, you see Ozen. The Storm Eye sits casually and very, very naked, his arms resting at the frame around the spring. There's a sake jar in one hand. You see him take a long sip from it and place it back with a satisfied, ah. As he pulls the jar away, Ozen is... sort of a light brown eye sort of sees you and softens. Without his helmet on, you can see the old scar running over his empty socket of his other eye. I don't know which eye it was. I said it before, I think, but that was like 70 episodes ago.
It was that one.
And might I just say,
yeah,
like that younger Ozen voice is like on point. I remember exactly how he sounded in the first two episodes.
Oh man, I tried.
That is on point.
He was very surprised.
I was very surprised.
It's literally just a little bit of a higher pitch of the same exact accent.
Let's see if I can keep it up. His long black beard is like trailing down into the water and spreading, sort of floating amidst the bubbles where it touches on the surface. His form is well muscled with various battle scars etched into his body. Some might find it odd to be summoned into their master's bathing side, but you know that's just Ozen. He's a type who is maybe too easygoing once you get to know him. Formality and prudeness are just a waste of energy and time.
I would think that the whole school is probably like that. If you come here with vanity, it's probably taught out of you. So Blanche happily accepts the invitation and joins him.
Just come right in the tub?
Yep. Blanche is going right in. She's, after a long day of training, excited for a soak and a little sake.
He, like, stands up. You see too much as he walks over to you and, like, hands you the sort of bottle or jar and sort of goes back to his side of the tub, sits back, leans, and, it's wonderful. I mean, this is, primo spring here.
Fine work today. Your battlefield awareness is just exceptional. And did I hear you whispering some sort of oceanic phrase for that move you pulled in combat?
Thank you, Master Ozen. I am pleased that you are pleased. Yes, I am building a little lexicon for myself.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. That is just excellent.
It helps me to remember the forms as I practice. They form a story of sorts.
His eyes sort of close and he leans back, almost thinking that over. He seems very pleased with your, I guess, with that statement.
And is Imminrath still working through his 1,000 swings?
I saw him on my walk over, yes.
Good, good.
He may tire, but he has kept his form.
Yes, he is an odd one. Still insists that I kidnapped him from his goat farm. The nerve of that boy.
So very odd, isn't he? Wonderfully, wonderfully odd.
Wonderfully. Did you know he's been calling me the Big O? The fuck does that mean? The fuck is a Big O?
Oh.
Yes. That too.
Hi, Stomp.
Talent with no discipline, like a fine blade left unwielded. One could cry. But that is the wind for you. Impossible to hold in shape. You want to harness it? You have to trick it. But the storm has many forms. The wind, the lightning, and the wave.
You kind of like, almost like with that, moves his hand slightly, and like the great wave sort of moves across the tub, splashing down over you. He kind of laughs with delight.
Yes, the wave. Its power is great, but there is a structure to it, a method. And there you are, Blanche. Incredible raw talent, absolute discipline. You are an amazing pupil. Far ahead, the best I've ever trained.
Thank you, sir.
I do hope someday you can understand the sheer elation of being a proud mentor. It is a gift, unlike anything else.
I'm focused only on learning now, sir.
Yes, and that's why I brought you here, actually. Your focus now is on learning, but soon enough you will learn all I can teach. And so I want to ask you, what are your intentions following your time with me? Now, I'd never pushed you down any set path. Once your blade is honed, it is yours to wield as you will, where you will. I wonder, though, if you will end up walking the very path I have tread. If you, too, will become a luminary of the Citadel.
To be honest, Master Ozen, I...
Just Ozen! We're in a bath!
Ozen?
Or Stormeye. It is cool.
It's a very... Honestly, I don't know... I don't know what I would be called that would be nearly as cool as Stormeye.
I'm sorry, there's nothing. That's... I didn't even coin that. They just did that.
But to be honest, I know that I want to serve my people, whether that is as a luminary or as a teacher. I have not yet decided.
Serve your people. A noble answer. Now, I will say, the path of the luminary may be able to do just this. I understand that there are reservations around turtles. Perhaps when one rises up, stands in the spotlight, this will change. It will be hard. But don't let that stand in your way, Blanche. Time changes all. Seeds become flowers, tadpoles become frogs, and fools become less foolish.
I hope to become less foolish under your tutelage, and if I were to ever be a luminary, I
I imagine that I would have only you to thank.
Please don't misunderstand me, Blanche. You are not the fool. The worlds are filled with fools. Fools who do not see the potential in you, in those they deem less. But don't think about the world's want. Never think about what they want, what they expect. Think only of you. What do you really, truly want, Blanche Trudeau?
Simply to prove my worth.
And I think a voice interrupts this memory, sort of pulling you out of your reverie.
Are you all right, Lady Blase? Shall I continue your massage?
It's a good thing your flippers are smoother than your voice.
John Franklin still looks to you. There's resolve behind his eyes, and you know he has decided he will take the mantle. Do you want to take the decision now, Blanche?
Jean, I am deeply happy for you. But I can think of no greater title for myself than Master of Defense at the Golden Bay.
Wow. Wow.
Damn.
All right. It's so, I never expected my sidekick becomes a luminary and your PC becomes not the sidekick. I don't know. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean.
It's cool. I know. I love it. I think that was fucking awesome. And you know what? Take a button.
All right.
You're playing Blanche so hot right now.
Yeah, I still haven't decided exactly what Blanche is going to do, but right here, right now, she's ready to go home. She's ready to go home, get back to her post, back to her duties, and the rest will come. At least I'm hoping. I'm trusting.
Something tells me the story's not going to allow that.
Hell yes. And so let's leave you guys as your massage continues.
Or however you say it. Before we go...
What?
Blanche looks up to Beauregard. Beauregard. What is the name of the one you work for here?
Oh my, let me think about that. That's...
Who's your boss, Beauregard?
Let me give me. I have to remember.
Maybe you can remember later, but how would your boss feel?
That's Master Soze. I thought of it.
Ah, Master. How would Master Soze
shut
react?
Shut up, Jeremy. I see your face.
How?
Don't.
Does he work? Does he also work with Kobayashi?
Wait, shut up.
Ask your question about the okay, Soze.
It took you a second.
How would Master Soze feel about having a luminary sponsee?
Let's cut from there. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I think that would be awesome.
Hmm.
I think that the pale moonlight could gain a lot.
It also works so well because I realized that in hindsight, Jean being a luminary means he gets payout.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's payout. If you also end up becoming a luminary someday, I don't want to double the payout. That's ridiculous. So his payout could just be staying for free.
That's yeah. I'm just trying to get Jean back in the pale moonlight. The poor guy.
It's very nice of you. It's very nice of you. I love it. And we will circle back to that. First things first. Let's go check on Jules LaRoche, huh?
Hey.
Let's open up. A little later on in the day. Now it's late afternoon, moving towards evening.
So I'm day drunk?
You're day drunk. I think Chester and Jeans have disappeared upstairs somewhere. Cherry Delights are all around her still just having a blast. Mulligan's kind of off cooking. I think pretty soon they're going to open up for the night crowd. I mean, Ayer doesn't give a shit about closing randomly for no reason all the time. And so that's kind of why he's like, Jules is back. We're closed. I don't know. But I think Jeans is like... You know, you have to open.
Like, oh, fine, all right. I'll open it up.
I'm just kind of just getting ready for that. Maybe Kiana's sort of giving a hand, and you kind of find yourself alone at the bar. And then a very large figure comes and sort of awkwardly tries to squat down the stool beside you. Arhalon kind of just...
Hello.
Just this awkward moment. Just staring. He's kind of looking towards you, looking down. And
I want to apologize for all this. I came here to explain myself, my actions to the good people here that I wronged. They are a surprisingly forgiving sort after what I've done. I tore your family apart, Jules, and I tore their family apart, and I'm sorry. I explained it to them and what happened on Saint-Étienne, and they conscripted me into this.
Hey, hey, that's the past. Did you learn?
Yes.
Yes, Mama Jules.
He's truly a cherry to life now.
I learned.
Did you grow?
Yes. Not physically. That'd be terrifying.
Do you feel better?
I think he actually kind of like smiles, a sort of deep smile.
I do. Despite everything, despite Zebulon, I feel better. I can do better.
Well, there you go. We're here now. Now is now.
Yes.
That was then.
And now I can continue the real work, what I should have been doing this whole time. Tythos. I will find out what happened. I will. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to dive deep. I just need to know what this Shah Khan has to do with it all. Ozan, he mentioned it, and I know.
Oh, you mean the World of Serpents?
And like, Phyro's kind of staring right beside you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I went through a few more translations. I think the most crisp translation you could find, going back to a number of mythologies, especially looking at Umizan lore, and that of Zing and Yanito, World of Serpents seems to fit the best. So yeah, Shah Khan, World of Serpents, that's it.
You son of a bitch.
Oh.
Jules. Jules puts his hand on his head and shakes his hair.
Jules.
What would we do without you?
Well, it's really your doing, Jules. You gave Chesta a bunch of gold last time before you left, and there's a bookstore that kind of just opened down the way. The Book Den. Pretty odd place, but, I mean, Chesta gave me some gold. I went in, and I've been visiting Penny, the owner there, every day. I mean, I've learned a lot. And you actually look over, there is that massive pile of books I mentioned he was hiding behind last time. It's a little bit ludicrous. You give Chesta a lot of money for books. You can see now that most of them look to be like explorations of like the ancient histories and mythologies of the conquered worlds. Though there are a few mixed among them that kind of stand out. I think you see a book called Touched by Arcanes or Red Cover. One sort of very dark looking book that has dragon bones down the side. A light purplish novel called Moondust. And again, thank you, Meg. I'm having a lot of fun with this stuff, this content. The Book Den is from her new zine, and I've got sort of early access to it, and I'm gonna flaunt that one.
Nice.
So
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, find that stuff at the Hungry Familiar.
Find it. But he kind of looks. He's kind of, and hey, we have a wizard in the party, so perhaps we'll be visiting the Book Den before long.
Man, keep it up. You keep doing what you're doing. You might save our lives one day.
Thanks, Jules.
I think you realize, like, beside you, Arhalon is just gaping.
I see. So, the mystery's tied to the lore of our very worlds. What are you doing every day? I may have questions for you. Mazir Drakar, do you know that one?
Oh, yes, I've reached that too. That is, speakers with serpents is the general term you find with that. Someone who can communicate with these aforementioned serpents, Drakon being the exact translation of that word. Ancient ones can be used as well, but serpents, again, seems to be the older, more primary translation you'll find.
Incredible. Jules, may I borrow this person?
Fibro, what do you think?
I just want to be helpful. Can I help?
Abso-fucking-lutely. He's all yours, Arhalon.
I'm gonna rebuild my conspiracy board.
Is that what they're called?
That's what I call them.
Just take it one step at a time, okay?
Conspiracy board. All right.
With that done and said, let's move ahead in time just a little bit. Maybe to like just later on that same day. Could be a different day when you come back, Blanche. Time is going to be sort of immaterial here for a bit, but another thing we gotta wrap up is you had information recorded on that diamond of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume that you transferred it all to Jules' diamond and gave Paloma back hers, because flashbacks don't give you free expensive shit.
Yep, that's totally fine. Yeah, I didn't intend on taking the diamond. I think when we asked for it, it was with the understanding of being borrowed.
Cool. I just want to make sure that's out there.
Yeah, but I think that going over this stuff would probably have to happen within the same day, because Jean only has one night at the Pale Moonlight.
True, true. Okay.
So unless we want to play that out.
Right. Okay. So maybe everyone, I'm sure Jules isn't going to the Pale Moonlight. That sure as hell isn't happening. So I guess we're going to see Blanche, Jules, and Jean all kind of crammed into the Coyote. Maybe, sort of later on before any sort of crowd comes in. Maybe you're upstairs. You brought the projector up with you so you can get some privacy. Maybe Arhalon's there. Would you invite him?
Yeah, of course.
Hell yeah. Boy, one of these is going to be kind of a blow to Arhalon.
Oh, God.
We'll do that off screen. Let's go over what you heard. First of all, Doña Estela. Reading the file, you just kind of see it's a number of blackmail. Basically stuff that Ichmin had in her. You realize he had it on all of the various Tresna. That's how he was controlling them, is just utilizing blackmail and getting the upper hand. Very simple stuff.
Is there anything else we can notice from when Dresden scanned the room? Anything that would be important? I imagine not, but
I think in that room, mostly apart from the files, is all just kind of tools that were laid out. Things are being built. Maybe you see a couple of like Marfil prototypes that were on the sort of desks, but
okay.
They are full melted, gone now.
Okay.
Maybe show it to Fibro in case he can figure out how to put something together.
You know what? Maybe.
He can reverse engineer it.
Exactly. Oh, that's a nice wrench.
Pigman in parentheses Gul'tan. Let me give you a quick rundown of the gist of what this says. Gulta-Porg, was an Etten taken from the Risenor Peaks around 8 years ago. The lone son of a female Etten named Shalmau. Gulta-Porg was experimented on by Zavar, occult contact shared by the LaRoche family. Physical strength was immense. Like, after his changes, he was just mind-bogglingly strong. Mind tailored for reception to combat training. Porg, the more subdued personality, was buried during experimentation. His head removed. For ease of control, though, Porg's mind was brought to the surface. The pig mask worn serves as a conduit for the soul, or the head, of that basically was Porg, the sleeping mind that was buried within. But Gul'tan would be the primary mind that, with nothing else there, with nothing sort of holding a Porg in place, Gul'tan would take over.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, so Pigman was not even the dominant personality. Pigman was buried and brought out by the mask. Gul'tan, the dominant personality, the aggressive and dangerous personality, savage and brutal, that was the true that was the true Gul'tan. That was the true creature. Gul'tan is the true power behind the Pigman persona. And in case of emergencies, Gul'tan can become awakened by being directly referred to by name. Mm. You remember Pigman freezing as it's been sent a message to his mind and saying,
who is Gul'tan?
Before everything went down. And that's what you know with the Pigman. Jules LaRoche. Here's a lot.
Hot seat.
Some stuff we know, some stuff we don't. A lot of stuff we know, but Zavar's experimentation has opened Jules' body up to the purest influence of magic. Early tests of the Feywild instrument have proven this. The boy has become a perfect vessel, one to be filled by Zomate Shab. He touches the essence of the plane with such ease, his own will able to change the very shapes of souls. Bouts of powerful emotion currently serve as triggers for this power. It is also noted that Jules escaped from the Tower of Authority. Cerises assured the rest of the cult was only another step in his growth on this path. In the end, he will bow to the Horned Lord's will. A note says, the artistry inherent in Jules' alterations is remarkable. Serapio's own change was a rapid thing, where Jules has was slowly changed, all the resources of the LaRoche family pushed towards a set result. Should this vessel be allowed to reach full maturity, all of my own efforts combined will be cowed by this one singular product. There's just this element of jealousy, even hatred, towards Jules and these notes, Itzman's notes. It is clear that Serapio was Itzman's greatest achievement, this Tlacatacolo. Yet it stands as a mere prototype in comparison to the demonic weapon that Jules will no doubt become. In many ways, the earlier battle in the desert could be seen as a test drive, a conflict forced between the Fractured Horde's weapons to see which was the sharper. And the Tlacatacolo had reached near its peak in power, while Jules is still growing. The last and very recent note is an update from Zavar following the events of the battle against Jacinth. Zavar, after hearing word of this battle, had excitedly concluded that Jules had matured enough now that he no longer needed a living soul to tether him. While Cerise would likely disagree, always erring on the side of caution, Zavar fervently believed that Jules' life is a detriment to the Horn Lord now, a shield against his will. If Jules is to die, Zavar believed, then the Horned Lord may take his flesh at last.
Whoa.
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 Yeah. That's why Zavar did not hold back.
It's also like Jules' biggest strength in his emotion is also his greatest weakness.
Yeah.
The entire time you were saying that, in my head, round and round, was future Jules.
Mm-hmm.
And hitting me that he's going to need to grow out of that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Another note
sometimes,
of interest.
Sometimes maybe catch himself and think a little more rationally.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's maybe the realization that he needs.
Yeah.
And the image that he needed to see to kind of, it hit me, therefore it's hitting Jules.
Yeah.
Laying the ground for some character growth.
Yeah.
It only cost one Zebulon.
So inexpensive. I'm kidding, Steven.
So Monte Shop got shortchanged. Hey, oh, sorry. They're going small. I don't care. It's funny. Another note of interest, actually, is that Jules, what you read is Jules' modified body can touch many planes. This isn't so much in the note as something you'd realize and think about. We described how this gave Chester Fey magic, and how it turned Jacinth into a demon. It also explained how he was able to unknowingly guide Zebulon in the fugue plane, especially when you consider the theory of planar absorption, and the idea that Sansa Tian touches the fugue plane just as the horror-filled God's Breath touches Shadowfell, and the very magical Subsunko touches the Feywild. One might wonder if Jules' own abilities bear similarities to this strange phenomenon that threatens all the worlds.
One may wonder.
Well, that's all for Jules. Moving on. Calypsonia. Very little is written here. So much not known. All you really kind of gain from this is that Calypsonia is the matriarch of the Cult of the Fractured Horn, an ancient black dragon and most hated foe of Sholei Brass, the first commander of Zomate Shav. Current whereabouts unknown. And there's a line. It's actually from something you may have heard before. It's kind of a sort of chant that is used here and there in like the sort of lore and what's the word? What's the word? I guess mythology surrounding Zomate Shav. Her words are his breath. I read it wrong already.
I was going to say, you have never said that.
I've never said that. Hang on, let me... Her words are his words. Her breath is his breath. Her guidance, his hand. And her fury, his horns. I think you've seen this reference a lot, or heard this before in your like life growing up, but only now are you connecting it to this Calypsonia, this dragon, who stands as a pillar of the cult. And last, Zebulon Brass, son of Calypsonia, foremost weapon of the Fractured Horn against the interference of Speaker Sholei Brass. In bargain for his deliverance to Sholei, the cult was granted leniency. It needed to lock down their horns into the politics of the worlds, in the crystal network that informs them. Zebulon has since been handed over to Sholei, his unknowing role fulfilled. Personal note, again. My mind is razor sharp, my memory is perfection, yet I cannot recall a single detail about Calypsonia's former partner, father to Zebulon. A curse? An impossibility. What did Sholei do? I don't want to linger on this long, but that line doesn't stay for long in your minds, almost like it's being pushed out. Ar-Halon has this moment of like sheer panic, sheer rage, like something is bearing into him. He grabs his head, almost like bellows out until he calms, as if he'd never read anything at all. And by the time that sly has moved past, as minutes tick by, that note goes forgotten.
What note?
All right. And with that, I've been playing really chill music this entire time.
I know. We're talking about like demons and like if Jules dies, he's going to take his body, all with the like funny pub music in the background.
I was going to change it. I forgot.
No, I loved it.
Jules really can't die.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it would be.
Jules cannot die.
We'd be in trouble if Jules died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if my backup character could handle what would be coming.
we'd have like Jules in the ring and yes. Zalmate Shab in Jules, and that's so, not a fair fight.
That's how we keep the bard.
Exactly.
My backup puts the ring on.
Yeah. Even if your backup's not actually a bard.
Yep.
Let's try not to let Jules die though.
No, I'd prefer not.
All right. I'm going to move things forward very quickly now. We've been dawdling for long enough. Let's get some information out of the way. We're going to see a montage of events. Imagine them, if you will, like you're watching footage, like news footage over time, just zip the Crystal Network over the next few weeks. Firstly, luminaries. Jean Franklin is taking the position. Blanche is not. What about you, Dresden? I will say Sholi would find that useful. If you want to step out of the shadows to take up the role, that is something you are fully allowed to do.
Can he do it without stepping out of the shadows?
Crispin sort of does.
You can stay somewhat muted. You'll get like,
that's
I think
fine.
You'll be acknowledged.
That's
but
fine.
Not,
he, yeah. But he is not going to take part in the crowds and the
hell yeah
imagery, you know, the grandeur of it.
I think the only one we see really basking in that in these news sort of feeds is
yeah,
Jean Franklin.
I think he would because it's a very easy way to actually have a life for himself.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. You've got to move on. You're on your own now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His own agency.
I think he would, but he's going to have no part in the grandeur of it and the spectacle.
Yeah. So in that sense, Dresden and Crispin would be like peas and carrots.
Yeah. Like peas and carrots.
I will say this. I'm still going to have you choose a sponsor because it's fun. Now, I will say that there's a number of sponsors from Saint Etienne that would be interested in having Dresden. The Limp Cactus is looking, as well as a few casinos, eating venues, even old Sandy Hill Inn. But there is another option that you might like. See, there was a sudden need for metal workers, a gap that some members of the Revolution have swiftly filled. And it turns out, Paloma used to be a master in the craft of forging, her magical scorpion-tailed dagger being a work of her own art. She and those loyal to her have been repurposing some of the Ironworks District into their own company, one focused on people over profit. They're calling it simply Freedom Ironworks. Where Marflo's slogan was, break your chains with something stronger, Freedom simply declares, we don't make chains.
Damn, that's so badass.
Ooh.
Would you want to take that sponsor?
I was going to say Peppers, but...
Peppers
That's
can
too,
only...
It's too easy.
Yeah, only so many luminaries can be carried by one small sponsor.
It's a cart.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds appropriate.
Then as a bonus, you may add a dagger of venom to your inventory as Paloma has gifted you.
Okay.
Her prized creation, that scorpion-tailed dagger. I love this, actually. It seems like you two really kind of got along very well, so that's really cool.
Sweet.
Cool. On this note, let's discuss Crispin's sponsor. You would have already had one since you were already a luminary. And when I asked you last week, Steven, who Crispin would pick, what did you say to me again? What were your words?
Wow, I really, truly, I remember having this conversation. I don't remember.
I saw that coming.
Yeah.
You wanted like something to be as nondescript, out
of
the way,
yes.
Lowbrow as humanly possible. And I was like, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
I know. Just the place.
Mm-hmm. This has already been exactly. Yeah.
So I think despite the sort of distance created as you go off to see Shelley, there is a day where we see Crispin Dubois makes his way through the saloon doors of the Ugly Coyote and moves up to the bar. think Jules, you just kind of catch a spot where Adrian sort of nods down like,
"Hey, Crispin, here for the usual?"
Hops up on a stool. "One quick drink and I'm out of here."
"All right."
Slides you a glass. Slides you a bag of coin.
"You, getting a little popular out there. People starting to come to my establishment. Maybe want to tone it down."
I apologize, friend.
"Yeah. It's all right. Say hi to the family for me."
He knocks the drink back, grabs his bag of coin, and heads out the door.
Two God's Breathians. Gotta love them.
That was like the most awesome and the most boring conversation we've ever had on this show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to try to not have those two in the room a lot together.
Oh, God. Because
it'll just be that. It'd be horrible.
Oh, it's awesome. I will say, Jean Franklin becomes sponsored by the Pale Moonlight.
Yes!
I love it. Yes! I think it makes so much sense. He's going to get free board there from here on out as a luminary.
Damn.
Hey, he's hot right now.
Yeah, for sure.
He knows the place. He can speak to it. I mean, no one sells a Pale Moonlight like Jean Franklin does. So,
it's his brand.
That's like all he talks about on the media when he's up there. And not even because he's asked to, because he wants to. So it's perfect. Match made in heaven. Perfect. Then let's talk about money. Payout, guys. You all have sponsors. Here's what you get. Blanche, you get this too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say maybe she, I don't know, does she get this as a bonus when she comes back? Like,
maybe. Awesome.
Hey, you brought honor to the Golden Golden Bay.
You're literally sponsored by a king of coin who oversees the fishing industry on Noari. Yeah, he's getting a boom and he's going to give you some money.
Totally.
Off it. Here we go. Base pay for each PC for this arc is 400 gold.
Oh, yeah, that feels good.
Mama.
Footage from the Jacinth fight will net you another 100 gold.
Ooh, yeah.
Damn.
Footage taken during Atosh's raid on Itzman's Manor, getting the whole moment when he came down and started fighting the pigman and all that, will net Blanche and Dresden specifically 200 gold each.
Blanche and Dresden specifically, you said?
Yes, because they were there in that moment. Before you get too worried about that, the battle in the lab, should you give it to Orin to show the world, will net Jules and Crispin also 200 gold each. And you can, of course, cut the footage around bits you don't want to show, such as a certain necrotic-looking demon arn that has, as of yet, been unfeatured on the network.
Oh, by the way, in all this montage shit, I've gotten a new glove.
I'm assuming so.
Like a really nice glove.
Yeah, oh absolutely.
That's
absolutely. It matches my cloak.
Ooh, that's cool. Honestly, though, I'm so...
Lovely.
And I think at this point, he actually bought a pair of gloves. Because kind of weird, just guy having one glove on one hand.
I don't know. It's very Midnight Prince-y.
It's so Midnight Prince-y.
Imagine one Midnight Prince glove, one Midnight Prince cape, and it's like attached with a little rope, kind of like stuck. very opera. Is that an opera thing?
I was like, at this point, am I just Prince?
You're
you almost have a purple guitar.
I do.
You almost do.
I do.
Wow. Jules LaRoche, the Midnight Prince, getting his payout. So I think in total, what's that like?
So right now for each PC, I have 400 plus 200. Yeah. And then it seems like there's 100 for a party split.
No, 100 each for the Jacinth fight. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. 700 each for all you've done. You got
a lot of PCs.
Okay. Yeah. Now give them to Jean, because I'm not that nice. You got your payout. So
that includes like Dresden and Crispin?
Yes.
Woof.
All PCs get this, so you put Marco on all your sheets.
Okay.
Yeah, so right now all four PCs are up to 700 gold.
700. Oh, I gotta add another 100. Whoops. Oh my God, we're rolling in the dough.
You're rolling it. Hey, this was a huge swing. This was a swing, man. This is a big swing.
Yeah, for real.
And let's talk about how big a swing this was, because it turns out Sholei knew what she was talking about. As we push forward in time, we see footage showcasing the fall of the LaRoche family. Samuel LaRoche arrested, sent to the Sky Prison. Cirilla removed from office during investigation, locks herself away in a rural town, not making any contact. Cerise, as far as anyone can figure, has vanished into thin air. And right now, there are no plans to elect another speaker for Tythos, as there is no Tythos to speak for. One speaker against Atosh, gone. And speaking of speakers, speaker Infante of Saint-Étienne has been taken into custody as well. Evidence connecting him to the cult has been discovered. And a new speaker has already been chosen. There was a great stirring as one of the surviving Pari Angel warriors named Artavazda was chosen by the populace as the new speaker.
Wow.
The first time in history that a speaker not native to a world was picked to represent them. It should be pretty much illegal, and yet the popular vote took it.
That legitimizes the hostile takeover.
The leaders of Saint-Étienne had failed their people, and it was the angels of Ankar and Singar that set them free, finally. Wow. Maybe this is a good change?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it stems from another change in Saint-Étienne. See, whilst the Tresna have been removed from office, some of Atash's forces have remained within the city to help maintain order and guide Saint-Étienne into the future. They're hanging out. It's a good thing. Good stuff.
Do you mean is that occupying?
And as we move forward, I want to show you his one last scene, I guess, before we cut to whatever's next in our little story. Big crowds surround the gateway into the diamond. We see the great iron doors open. We see Artavazda himself is leading a figure bound by thick, thick chains, magical chains, too strong for the typical sort of crystal prisons that they keep. As the pigman, shackled and hated, is being led out into the trade disc, all up towards the jewel. He'll be taken to the sky prison. You see him weeping openly as he looks into the crowd. There are fruits thrown at him, splashing against this sort of bare chest, against his head. He's, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry." And just like moving around, all these people, the children, throwing, hating. And as his eyes look up, and they fall on someone in the crowd who has just pushed their way to its front. Blanche Trudeau, perhaps you came back when you heard this was coming. Do you think you would?
Oh, yeah.
To see him off? And so I think our news footage falls in this moment, falls on you, as the pigman's weeping, defeated eyes meet yours. Does anything transpire in this frozen moment between these two souls?
Yeah, Blanche is going to cast message.
Oh.
Take heart, pigman. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I will get you.
I meant to say, save you? Or, like I meant to mix, save you and get you out.
Oh, God.
It didn't come out the right way.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I thought you were channeling Liam Neeson.
Not what I expected.
Let me try one more time.
Recoils in fear. Frozen moment. His eyes meet yours.
I don't know when. I don't know how. But I will save you. Be strong. As I know you are.
And as the chains sort of pull him forward, his eyes sort of stay locked on yours. This glimmer of something. Gratitude. Hope. Maybe just happy to see one soul out there is still looking out for him. Maybe just happy to see his friend. And the pigman is pulled away.
You're a monster.
Towards his fate. When we see this party again, following the events of the return from Saint-Étienne, nearly a month will have passed. Trying to think of a segue to say we'll call it there. It didn't feel right. Give me something to work with here.
I actually thought that was a great place to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a really sad note.
Yeah. And now it's perfect because then we can leave this all in now and you can say,
and we'll call it there!